Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tales of the Unedited. I'm Liam Martin, and today we have a frightfully dark and delicious episode for you. It features a man so delusional, so cold and ruthless, so maniacally focused on shameless self-promotion that you may not even believe the evidence of your very ears. But rest assured, dear listeners, every detail is sadly, horrifyingly true.
Ahoy, hoy.
Hi, mate. You ready to record?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready, yeah. Oh, wait, but do you mind if I just promote my new book a little bit first? It's called The Warden, and it's a psychological techno-thriller set in a near-future alternate reality version where the lockdown never ended, and blah, 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 blah.
See? Harrowing. Truly harrowing. You know, details of the other side of Hello, listeners, and welcome to Dark Natter, the podcast where Liam can't be asked to come up with a suitable intro, and the fact that I'm doing this in the first place proves that neither can John Richter.
Yeah, that was a cop-out, that wasn't it? Getting you to do it.
It was,
you,
wasn't it?
Yeah. You wouldn't be able to, yeah. I couldn't think of anything for
I
this
couldn't
one.
Even be. I literally couldn't even be asked to think of an intro. That's you know, that's pretty bad.
Well, it's your gimmick, isn't it? It's your It's on brand. It's on Liam brand. I would have sympathy because it is absolutely flipping boiling to the point where I can barely think straight at the time of recording. But to be honest, you can never be arsed. No, even when it's cold,
no.
You can't be arsed, can you?
No, even less.
Well, lucky you're here. Lucky that you're on the show at all.
Massively, yeah. I delayed the recording multiple times, and you didn't take the hint, so, you know, we had to record. Yeah.
We forgot to introduce...
Right, let's do it. Let's do the proper intro, then. Go on, you do it.
Can you be asked to do the intro? Are you sure?
Yeah, well, no, you do it. You do it. You don't have to do all that other shit.
I'm John Richter.
And I'm Liam Martin.
And this is the podcast where we slice, dice and dissect your favourite works of dark fiction to ascertain whether they are worthy of a place in the hallowed, haunted, horrible, hellish halls of the Hall of Pain. Can you be asked to laugh? You can. It's quite a good one, actually. Keeping it fresh. And long-time listeners will know, we sort of alternate between each other, slash sometimes have random guests, slash it's all a bit of a shambles these days. But whatever, it's your turn, Liam, to pick the topic of discussion for a day. What's it going to be like, son?
So I'm pitching to you, Tales of the Unexpected, the television series, not the... collection of short stories, but the television series based on many of Roald Dahl's short stories. And basically, I'm going to tell you why it's so great and why it's really dark and horrible. And you're going to decide whether or not it deserves a place in the Hall of Pain.
That is an excellent summary of the episode we have planned. Your picks are always good because they're often things I haven't really... Well, you know, like we did... I had to play through all of Preacher, didn't I? That.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, which you hated.
I liked it.
You enjoyed it, but yeah. But you hated in terms of...
I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have ever read all nine bloody annuals or whatever you call them of Preacher had you not recommended it for this show. I wouldn't have ploughed through all of the... Friday the 13th movies had you not recommended for this show, and I
really
probably
I wouldn't have done that either, so whose idea was it?
Oh yeah,
Christ almighty,
I thought
the longest month ever watching God. That shit. And yet it still got into the Hall of Pain. Yeah, the standards are that low.
Well, maybe Roald Dahl is here to resurrect.
Well, hang on. Let me take over for a second.
Please do.
Now, we may well do an episode of Roald Dahl in the future. Roald Dahl, the author, and his works. This is why I kind of, you know, pointed this out at the beginning. We're talking very much about the TV series, which are... A lot of the episodes are based on his works, but then there are a lot of episodes adapted from other short stories by other authors. So it's not necessarily Roald Dahl going into the Hall of Pain. He may well get a chance in the future, but it's the Tales of the Unexpected TV series.
And actually, to clarify, so Tales of the Unexpected ran from 1979 to 1988 on British
TV. Nine seasons.
Nine seasons, 112 episodes.
A lot, isn't it, actually?
Now, it was originally apparently called Roald Dahl's Tales of the Unexpected because the stories, all the episodes in the first series were taken from his book, Tales of the Unexpected, or one of, I think there's two other collections he wrote.
Yeah,
one's called Kiss, and one's called Someone Like You. So at that point, you probably could have said it was a Roald Dahl vehicle,
yes,
and they had him on introducing every episode.
That's right, yeah, they did.
Which we might come back to in a minute, which was obviously the basis of our little skit opening that we did there. That was a bit of fun, wasn't it?
We managed to dig up Roald Dahl and get him to record it.
Yeah, you on brand as...
Nothing,
you know,
to do with me.
Can't be arsed. Me, I was on brand as constantly, shamelessly plugging my books, which I will definitely do at the end, again, as always. But in subsequent series, Dahl sort of faded out. They used a mixture of his stories and other people's stories, but he was still introducing them. Then it got to the point where it was just he'd run out of stories, so it was all other people's stuff. And then he just stopped being in it and he wasn't presenting it. So I think the title changed from Roald Dahl's Tales of the Unexpected to Tales of the Unexpected brackets introduced by Roald Dahl, and finally was just Tales of the Unexpected by the end. Did it always have that same theme tune?
I believe so, yeah. Which is really catchy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good one.
And I always thought the woman dancing at the beginning looked a bit like Princess Diana, the silhouette.
I suppose it was reminiscent of like a low-budget James Bond-style intro.
Yes, yeah, that's a fair point.
But she did have like an old-fashioned haircut, I suppose, that maybe... I don't think it was Princess Diana.
No.
That would be unexpected, wouldn't it? I guess.
But yeah, I believe they used it all the way through. I mean, I've got the entire collection on DVD, actually.
Brilliant.
But I haven't watched them all yet. Because there's fucking hundreds of them, so...
Because you can't be asked.
Yeah. And to be honest, I'll tell you what, and I'll be completely honest with you, for the sake of full disclosure, I cannot be asked these days to watch DVDs. Because I do most of my binge-watching... on my iPad whilst I'm working. This is, you know, I probably get fired for this, but either on my iPad or if the TV has got got apps on it like Netflix. In terms of watching DVDs, changing them over, you know, using the remote, I can't be arsed. That's really bad, isn't it? It's the same with video games. I basically buy now. I used to always buy physical. I basically now always download my games because I literally cannot be asked to change discs.
It's probably been the same disc in your PlayStation
I believe years. It has, yeah.
It's just on a related thing. I just received a DVD in the post, but I do agree with you that I've got more and more downloady and watch online-y. But this one, it's interesting. There's still some movies and stuff that you can own. You can't get them even on streaming services.
Absolutely. Hey, whoa. Hold your horses there, buddy, because I agree with you. Sorry, I don't know why I made a big deal about that. But no, there are some things that you know, I still buy the odd DVD or Blu-ray, although don't get me started on Blu-ray. But yeah, you're
can't
right. There are still some things that you have to kind of buy in that format. And if it's a one-off watch, I don't mind because I make an evening of it.
Yeah, it's like an event thing.
Exactly. But shows like this, where I believe it's more kind of, you know, it works as the kind of binge watching. Yes. I don't know. I just rather it was download only. That's really bad, isn't it? And it's purely because of how lazy I am.
No, I mean, it's just modern life, isn't it? Mm. You know, we're probably going to be, yeah, God, we're going to become like the people in the movie Wall-E. We'll just be like immobile, grotesque, mollycoddled lumps in our chairs, just spoon feed me out more horror. And then the real horror will be, you know, like a movie about someone who's forced to get up out of their chair, that will be considered horror.
That's your next novel right there.
Anyway,
I don't know where we are.
I have to tell you about this DVD dead quick before we come back to the. So I went, you know when you just like, I want to watch a film but I don't know what I want to watch and I can't, and Netflix is just a load of shite. So I Googled top 50 most underrated films of all time.
Okay.
And the one they've given the most underrated film of all time to, apparently you can't get it on any streaming service and even the DVD is out of print. Wow. And it's a movie starring Philip Seymour Hoffman called Happiness that's meant to be a like unwatchably horrible black comedy, and I don't know anything more about it other than that, so who knows?
And you haven't watched it yet?
I just turned up today, only picked it up this evening.
And it says,
you know on the back cover when it's, you know, some films are like they're scraping the barrel and they can only find one good review and it's 4 stars.
Yeah.
And that's the, you know, it's like, oh, a good film, 4 stars, and you think, oh, that's going to be ropey. This is like 5 star, 5 star, 5 star, 5 star, brilliant. So I don't know, I've never heard of it before. Weird.
Literally never heard of it.
Lost. And the other one I watched off that list was Death to Smoochie the other day with Robin Williams as the villain, which was quite funny. The seedy underbelly of children's TV presenters.
And good.
Pretty good. Yeah. Funny. Got panned critically at the time and was a massive flop at the box office, but I thought it was funny. Lowbrow.
All right, okay.
But, you know. Just what Robin Williams swearing and stuff and being a drunk was cool.
Sounds good to me.
It was. It wasn't Mrs. Doubtfire. The opposite of Mrs. Doubtfire. Anyway.
But I will occasionally buy... I mean, Tales of the Unexpected is a perfect example. It was something I couldn't really find on streaming, so I bought the DVD, watched a few seasons, but I've only gradually kind of... continue to watch others, but special films, you know, films I would like to own, I will purchase a DVD, and there's still a time and a place for them, but don't think they lend themselves to binge watching as much.
No, that makes complete sense. I think you're spot on, actually. I commend your laziness. Is the Tales of the Unexpected DVD box set, is that a beautifully presented box set with loads of extra material and little inlays, or is it just more standard?
I think it's early days of the DVDs. It was, you know, I mean, it's a lot of shit on there because it's, like we said, over 100 episodes.
Yeah, and some, and I don't know if, I mean, I watched about 5 to prepare for this episode, all handpicked by you. Presumably not handpicked because that suggests you like got off your arse and did something. I'm sure you probably delegated it and got someone else to pick
it. No, in fairness, I put some effort into that.
Well, and it was appreciated because I enjoyed all of them. But I enjoyed some more than others, and we'll talk about them in a bit more detail momentarily. And I actually did read some of the original Tales of the Unexpected book a while ago.
Yeah, now I have as well. Yeah.
And some of those were great. And some of those were not that great, to be honest. A mixed bag. My primary issue, not issue, but I suppose a point worth making, is, you know when something sets out to have a twist ending?
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as you know, like anyone who went to watch The Sixth Sense, having been told there's a big bloody twist, or anyone, oh, you've got the twist, oh, The Usual Suspects, the twist ending is amazing. That's it now. I know there's a twist.
You're
on the lookout
for the twist, aren't you?
Yeah. And because these things are dead old, you know, we're talking 70s, 80s, you know, it's going back a while. People may disagree with me on this. It was easier to shock audiences in the past because there was less, they'd seen less stuff.
Yeah. I think that's a fair point, yeah.
So like Psycho is a good example. Alfred Hitchcock's movie Psycho, still a classic movie, still well worth a watch, brilliant, we should do an episode on it. But the shower scene is not remotely scary or gory, or, you know, it's completely tame and a bit pathetic. But at the time, cinema goers were screaming and running out of the cinema and falling over themselves in horror because they'd never seen anyone get stabbed on the telly before. So my point here is the twist endings that maybe were really shocking and unpredictable at the time, some of them are a bit obvious now, I think. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I suppose so. I just think you're right when you say that, you know, when you're expecting a twist, I don't know if you've ever watched the IT Crowd. There's an episode where they watch a film and that, and they find out there's a twist, and it kind of ruins the film for them because constantly just thinking about the twist.
Yeah.
It's a small subplot, really, but you're right. I think once you know there's a twist, and if it's all centered around twists, then you spend the whole episode thinking,
what's the twist going to be?
And perhaps, like you said, without as many shows like this or, you know, stories like this, then probably a little bit more predictable. And also, in fairness, the twists have probably been reused as well many times. So
yeah, almost tropes in a way.
Exactly. I can't think of a specific example, but...
Well, it's a bit like...
Sixth Sense, yeah.
Yeah, that's... I suppose we should do spoiler alert for Tales of the Unexpected, various episodes we're going to ruin. Spoiler alert for every other film that has got a twist that we're going to unwittingly ruin.
Yeah.
So we should probably try not to do that. But one film whose twist I reckon I can safely ruin, because Jesus, everyone knows this. But you know, like the Darth Vader was secretly Luke's dad twist?
Yeah.
That was a shocking twist once upon a time back in the day when The Empire Strikes Back hit the cinema. But now it's such a trope that, the villain is secretly...
It's some sort of relation to... Yeah,
yeah, exactly. That's, now you can't get away with that. If you put that as a twist in your book, you get laughed out of the...
And Willis being the Willis was a ghost.
He was dead all along.
And probably, in fairness, other films before The Sixth Sense that did that as well. I can think of a couple. So that is another one where, you probably could guess, someone's already a ghost, you know.
And there must have been an original, remember being at school when you had to do, creative writing task at school, and even at a primary school, the teacher would tell you, you can't have, and
can't
it was all
a
dream.
That's right, yeah.
Although, arguably, that's still going David Lynch doesn't seem to agree with that rule, does he?
A dream within a dream.
A dream. Yeah. It's all just a dream.
Very good.
Well, thank you. That's my only talent is David Lynch impersonations.
But yeah, so I think you make a valid point. But having said that, didn't ruin the episodes for me, because I think I'll tell you one thing I like about this show. We're not going to focus too much on the stories, but the show is that. Do you find that anything that was made in like the 70s and, particularly the early 80s, has got a kind of innate creepiness to it? Just the way it's filmed and...
Grainy film quality makes it look a bit otherworldly somehow.
There's a BBC adaptation of The Woman in Black, which has gotten a bit, popular these days thanks to... Harry Potter doing it and the stage show and whatnot. But there was a BBC one, and again, it's something about it, the way it's filmed, that I find it so much scarier than the modern day stuff.
We've talked about stuff like, I suppose, Silent Hill. I know I always find any excuse to bring up Silent Hill. One of the reasons Silent Hill 2 is one of the best horror games ever is because the voice acting was a bit ropey. So it makes it sound weird and all the conversations are a bit stilted. And it's the same in a way, I guess, to be honest, like acting in TV acting, naturalistic TV acting has probably improved over the last few decades. I know a lot of people would maybe disagree again, but because it was
Well, the production as well, yeah. The production.
Yeah, the production's better, the editing's better.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm not saying older actors of yesterday were not incredibly talented, but maybe they were a bit more classically trained stage actors and it was a bit more hammy and it was a bit like they were in a play. You know, some of these episodes are like watching a play on stage rather than watching a TV show. So it gives it all, like you said, this like weirdly, slightly formal. Plus, it's all, I don't know, dare I say, a bit posh. Like, you've got, like, Roald Dahl, he's a posh bloke with a posh voice, and then, you know, you've got an episode with Brian Blessed in, and he's a bit posh, and so the whole thing is just, oh, hello, oh, yes, come into the study. Yes, now, do take a seat. Mm. And it just You're makes right, it actually, all, yeah. It's a bit weird and a bit creepy, like you say.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, one final generality before we just do a little deep dive on a couple of episodes specifically. Generality, I was going to say, they're all about 25 minutes long. And you can find a lot of them, I think, on YouTube. So
yeah,
if you did
can
fancy
actually,
watching
yeah.
it, you just bang them on YouTube and the, you know, what, 25... Because 25 minutes, even if you know there's a twist coming, it's not that long, is it? So, by the, you know, you can spend your 25 minutes trying to figure out what the twist's going to be. And if you do guess it, it's not like, oh, I had to suffer through 2 hours of a movie
yeah,
having
exactly,
only guessed the ending.
Yeah, the other thing I'd say as well is that quite influential. If you look at... Inside Number 9, I mean, it's basically the modern day Tales of the Unexpected.
Great point, yeah.
Very much so, yeah. So again, short episodes, dark, creepy, but also a slight kind of comical element as well. And
yes.
always a twist at the end. And,
and Black Mirror, really cool. Black Mirror as well.
Black Mirror is more future sci-fi.
Yes.
And you could say the same, The Twilight Zone as well. Again, more sci-fi, but similar in terms of dramatic presentation with a kind of either sci-fi or supernatural twist at the end. So, yeah.
And also self-contained as well.
Self-contained,
we should probably point that out. There's no continuity. There's no recurring characters. Every episode, self-contained story, and then done, move on. Next week will be different actors, different characters. And yet, The Outer Limits, I suppose, was another
the
one.
The Outer Limits, yeah. Alfred Hitchcock Presents, I think that was another one. Which actually there were at least one I know of episode that appeared, a story that was adapted for that and Tales of the Unexpected.
Interesting. And that's what, yeah, like you said, most of it, like all the episodes you sent to me, they were all sort of murder-based. But I think certainly in the book, there were some that were a bit more light-hearted and almost like, oh... The twist ending is the cupboard was an antique. Oh no! And we chopped it up for firewood. God,
yeah.
Like kind of a bit silly. But so they weren't all.
What one other little nice? Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Like I said, well, they're darkly humorous as well, aren't they? So,
yeah.
Timothy West as well has appeared in an episode of Tales of the Unexpected and was also in the first episode of Inside Number 9. Which is a nice
Oh, brilliant.
Link.
That's really cool, actually. And and we'll come on to it because it was the best one that I watched. You know that one, A Stranger Comes to Town?
Yes, that's...
Is it Derek Jacobi?
That's right, yeah.
So I... You know when you watch an actor, particularly in something that's a bit older, and you're like, oh, he looks familiar. What have I seen him in? So I Googled him, assuming, to be honest, that he would be dead because he's obviously going to be old now because he was not that young in the episode. And this is from going back to the 70s. And he's still going.
Yeah.
And I think he was in an Inside Number 9 as well.
He is, yeah, that's right.
Brilliant. Yeah. I thought he was amazing in that episode.
Yeah, that's one of my favourites, that one. Yeah, we'll get onto that, but...
And yeah, it was definitely, and I suppose any popular episodic TV show of any era has this same thing. But it, when you watch it, you'll see shedloads of recognisable actors in their younger. So like Ian Holm is in an episode, Brian Blessed is in an episode, even like a very young Jennifer Connelly is in an episode as like a kid, which is weird. So that's quite fun as well. It's like spot the future star.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you get that with any, you know, like the X-Files used to be the same. It was like, if you watch the old 90s X-Files, it's like, oh my God, like Bryan Cranston's just randomly in one of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the others. There's loads, Michael Gambon and, loads of people. So yeah, kind of fun to watch it for that reason as well. Charles Dance.
Oh, I might have to watch that then. I love Charles Dance, he's ace.
See some of the old familiars.
The old guard. Well, maybe, it just to... Obviously, we're not now going to go through all 112 episodes one by one. But maybe just to pick one that we might spoil in order to just give you a flavour of what sort of thing, if you've not seen them. And obviously, if you want to watch the episode, then just go and watch it and then come back to this. But I thought maybe we could do that Derek Jacobi one,
if, yeah, in a little yeah, bit, fair if enough,
you wanted
yeah.
to.
Yeah, because So yeah, the Derek Jacobi one is called A Stranger Comes to Town, and it's kind of I wasn't sure if you would like this or not, but it's one that I really liked,
and I loved it. Absolutely, it
starts off with this very kind of eccentric character rolling in on a train to this, you know, small town. And it's all very musical, isn't it? It's like, yeah, and he's
jolly music, and he's got he's got a daft, flamboyant, you know, brightly coloured waistcoat and a top hat with frilly bits on it, and he's like, and he's a proper sort of character.
Going around doing magic, isn't he? And like all the kids love him, and he just becomes a real well known character in the town.
And there's a narration. There's like an over the, again, this in a way, quite a dated sort of thing to do, but a few of the episodes had this, like, the character's inner monologue or narration is played over the top. So he's like, oh, I arrived in town on a Thursday and the locals immediately warmed to my eccentric ways. Ha 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 ha. And it's got all this light-hearted music. So that's what threw me off, I suppose. I thought, oh, Liam's taking the piss and he sent me a silly one as opposed to a dark one.
Yeah.
And it sort of tricked me completely. And I was like, oh, well, I'll watch it anyway because this bloke's funny. And he's got like a beard and bushy eyebrows. He looks like a wizard, doesn't he? Like a silly sort of... And all the townsfolk are like... Like you said, the kids all love him, but you can tell the adults in the town are like, oh, who's this crackpot? Bless him.
Yeah.
You know, he's harmless. Let's laugh at him. Kind of. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And I mean, there's not really much else to the episode until you get to the ending, really, is it? It's just basically, it's establishing him as a light-hearted figure of fun.
Yes.
In this small town, a character that nobody could forget. And at the end, he goes to, is it like a bank or something he goes to?
No, I think it's a builder's, like a building company's head office, I think, because he's called like Mr. Late's, like Latham's building firm or something. And I think we've already met this bloke, because earlier in the episode when he's doing his like wandering around the he gets a hotel room, doesn't he? He's like, oh, I would like your finest room with a view of the sea. And the guy's like, oh, we don't have any rooms with a view. And he's like, who said anything about a view? Like, just eccentric. But he does meet this bloke, Mr. Latham, and he, I don't know, shows him a few magic tricks or whatever. And Mr. Latham gives him, who's this like sort of slightly slimy businessman, who is that? Is he, the actor is from something else, isn't he? I can't remember what, though.
Is he the one in...
he's not Hyacinth Bouquet's
husband, yeah, that's
husband,
it, that's it, yeah, yeah.
He's Mrs. Bouquet's husband in Keeping Up Appearances.
What was his name, like Richard or something, wasn't it?
We should go on, we'll have to look him up, won't we? Yeah, I think he was going, Richard!
Yeah.
Who's the actor, though?
I don't know the name of the actor, admittedly, it's him, isn't it?
Cast. His name was Clive Swift. There you go. Who I think, sadly... Oh, he died in 2019? That's a shame. Well, yeah, quite. He does a good job. And he's like, oh, I actually know a bit of magic. So he almost like turns the tables on the magician bloke, who's called Columbus.
Yes,
tells
that's right.
them that his name's Columbus. My name's Columbus. And he's like, oh, I know how you do that trick. Look, you pick a card and I'll guess your card. So like, he's a bit like, oh, you know, you're harmless, but I'm not particularly impressed by your antics, Mr. Columbus, kind of thing. But yeah, at the end, Columbus goes to Mr. Latham's office and he times it. It's like 5 to 6. All the workers are leaving. The secretary's on her way. And he's like, oh, could I just have a word with Mr. Latham? I assure you, it will only take a matter of moments. And he's like, oh, well, yes, but he's got to leave soon because he's got plans. So yeah, he goes into his office and things happen.
And... kills him.
Yeah. He does, yeah.
So he I think he put some handcuffs on him.
Well, he convinces him to put the handcuffs on himself.
Exactly.
As part of why don't you try and get out of this trick? And the guy stupidly does that.
And then he gradually, his crazy costume that he's been wearing, he takes his hat off. It's a fake beard, takes his ridiculous coat off. He's got those huge heels as well to make him look
fake
a lot taller.
Heels. Yeah.
And he unveils himself to be a former associate who is out for revenge.
Yeah, because Mr. Latham had framed him for a crime, so this other bloke had been sent down. And it's like, and he's given it, he's like, oh, do you recognise me now? How about now? Removes the beard. Oh, still not now? How about now? Takes the tash off. And the best bit I thought of that was when his voice changes. So yeah. Only once he's gone into full his real self mode, he suddenly starts talking like this, and he's just like a generic Cockney. And it's like, oh, he's not even posh. It was all an act. Oh. Like,
and then he kills him with the umbrella that... what was his name again?
Columbus. Umbrella. He's got like a blade in the tip.
And then because he's basically transformed from this eccentric character into just a normal guy in a suit, packs his stuff away, walks out, and of course nobody would recognise him because everyone knew Columbus, but nobody knows this guy. He's just a normal face in the crowd, and you see him get on the train leaving the town, and I think one bit of confetti falls down, doesn't it?
Yeah, just... he sprinkles a little bit of confetti as his final little act on the train platform, but
nobody could identify him because, you know, everyone knew Columbus, but not...
Yeah, they'll all say, oh, the murderer must be that crazy old crackpot who we saw going into the office and now has disappeared. No one's going to link that non-existent crazy person to the real... Yeah, and I kind of quite chilling. And when he kills him, he pushes the umbrella into his like heart, and there's like a gristly like sound effect. It was horrible. I thought that scene was quite hard to watch for an old show. Just leaves him dead on his desk.
But I'm glad you enjoyed that one. Yeah, I wasn't sure, but yeah, like I said, it was one of my favourites actually.
Oh, it's great.
Not the favourite, however. My favourite episode is the first one I sent to you, which is called Flypaper.
That was horrible.
And it's based on a short story written by an author called Elizabeth Taylor, not to be confused with the famous actress. And it is, when I saw it, I was like, fuck me, that is dark. Because I won't ruin the ending for this one, because I do think this one's worth watching.
Yes, yes.
Without knowing anything. But when I was a kid, I remember on TV there being these adverts, like Stranger Danger adverts. And there was one that was really, I found really creepy. It was a bloke waiting outside the school. And, you know, he gets this girl to... get into his car, and I was petrified of being kidnapped when I was a kid. And this one is just brilliant. It's really fucking
clever,
dark, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah. This one again.
You said you saw it coming,
but only relatively close to the reveal. And that's different. That's okay. I think that's almost like a good thing, where you're like, my god, it's the
And they do telegraph it, though. They do telegraph it. Because there's one bit where it's like, oh, hang on a minute. Why are they doing that? And we've probably telegraphed it now and ruined it. But yeah, I've definitely watched that. That's my favourite episode. I just think it's horrible.
Yeah, so those two episodes are the first one we talked about is called A Stranger Comes to Town. And the second one is called, I think it's just called The Flypaper.
Yeah.
I think. But well worth a watch. And then, again, you know, 112 episodes to plough through, so just have a look and pick your favourite. But there was one other... I did like the daft one that was certainly a lot less kind of... Not, most of them were kind of real-world setting with relatively serious tone, but there was a really silly one about the woman whose husband was like a neuroscientist who died.
That's right, yeah. William and Mary.
Yeah, it's called William and Mary. And I will lob in a spoiler for that one. It transpires only about halfway through the episode, you get this reveal, but her husband's colleague has kept his brain and one eyeball alive in like a box in some fluid as almost like an experiment that they'd agreed between themselves. And she then insists on taking it home. And it isn't really a twist ending, is it? She just forces him to watch a load of telly that he hated in life.
Yeah, because he was really dominating, wasn't he? And
A crap husband, so she just punishes him by making him watch shite on the telly through his one eye that he can't close forever. Great! Thank you, Mary.
Like you said, quite silly, but quite a fun episode, that one, I think.
It was. And I didn't recognise the actress of that one, but I got the impression she was quite a fake... She was American.
She is,
I can't remember who it was, but I think even in the introduction, Roald Dahl was saying, oh, we got it. Excellent comic actress.
That's right. He points out the kind of dark humour in it. and says, you know, we've got the perfect actress for such a tale.
Yeah.
Another one I wanted to say, my friend, this, so actually I got back into this. I kind of loosely remember it from when I was a kid, the Tales of the Unexpected series in general. But my friend Pete showed me this episode, and it's called The Landlady.
Oh, yeah.
And that one, again, this is a perfect example of what I was talking about earlier, where even if you don't find it particularly scary and you just think, oh, that's a bit stupid, there's something about the way it's filmed and the way it's acted and the setting, everything about it, that's just a bit creepy. And so I really like this episode. Again, I won't ruin the ending because I don't think you'd see this one coming. But yeah, just a guy goes to stay at like a bed and breakfast, and kind of weird. She's sort of like the old lady there, sort of sweet old lady, kind of been expecting him. And there's talk of, like, he notices a couple of names of people that had gone missing. And
There was a good, I did enjoy that the old lady, the sweet old lady, asks him how old he is. And I, based on the look of the actor, I was going to, what, like 40, I guess. And he goes, I'm 18. Fucking Jesus! You've had a rough, a rough paper. Because that used to be, they always used to do that, didn't they? Like, get older people to play younger to a ridiculous extent back in the day. It was kind of weird.
Oh, I've just got the flypaper episode up, just on silent, but just watching.
Absolutely grim, what a creepy, horrible, stranger, like you say, a scary. That was a thing at school, wasn't it? Basically, ruin your life by making you absolutely, like firework, you know, bonfire night.
Yeah.
Like, that was just ruined by bloody years of Wellifant telling me that I was definitely going to die unless I, you know, encased myself in a suit of armour and...
Those pictures, like of the kid holding the sparkler. And
it's like, don't return to your sparkler, otherwise you'll burn all your flesh off and your eyes will fall out. And it's like, I know this, you know, we obviously don't want kids to like injure themselves, but come on, it's meant to be fun. The whole point of doing the sparkler is fun, but it wasn't fun. I was holding, I would literally be holding him at like arm's length, barely. Please let it be over.
Oh,
I just
want
to die.
Him,
Which
other episode? Oh, I also showed you Lamb to the Slaughter, didn't I?
Yeah, this one was stupid.
But that is a very famous episode. That's the one with Brian Blessed, isn't it?
Brian Blessed was in it. And there was loads of, I mean, there was loads of, like, in a lot of these episodes, I guess it was, you know, made back in the day, but there was just an awful lot of women getting treated like absolute shit in a lot of them. Lots of like, oh, hysterical woman, be quiet. Or lots of grabbing a woman by her arm and forcibly dragging her to some location. Or sit down, snap out of it.
Yeah,
you're being hysterical.
The sort of thing where you can imagine them slapping a woman in the face.
Yeah.
And like, calm down. It's like,
yeah,
but
like,
you just smacked me around the face. You know,
and you've only met her 5 minutes ago.
Yeah,
so, you know, you've not. You know, would you slap a random stranger? Or maybe you would back in the day. So yeah, it was all. It is a bit dated, isn't it? A lot dated in some ways. And this episode is very much like a poor, meek woman whose husband's died and or been murdered. So she's, you know, the policemen come round and they're like, oh, you know, sit down and calm yourself. And he's bloody Blessed is like, he doesn't give her much time to come. She's literally just found out her husband's been murdered. And he's like, right, what are the details? Come on. pushing
like,
her for
Christ.
Let her have a bit of a cry, maybe.
But I suppose that's the beauty of it, isn't it? Because it's like, they underestimate her. And
Yes.
You know, women in general.
Get their comeuppance in a way.
So, the twist is kind of quite nice. Tasty twist.
What you've done there, very clever. To the slaughter.
There's lots of like this. Some, you know, better than others. Some darker than others. The same as Inside Number 9, though. There are episodes of that are just quite light-hearted and funny. And then there are other episodes that are really like, Christ almighty, that was really bleak. And it's the same thing. It's, you know, not every episode's going to be a hit, but I think there's enough there. And especially, like you said, they're 20 minutes long. You can find them, most of them, on YouTube. You know, you can't go wrong, I don't think.
What is, before we move into the final summarying up, what is, you don't have to describe it or spoil it necessarily, but what is your favourite twist of all time in anything?
God. Jesus.
Sorry, I've put you on the spot there a bit.
The fuck's wrong with you?
maybe this could be it. Maybe this could be a twist ending for Dark Matter. What could the twist be?
Yeah, the twist be... Well, I'll tell you, the greatest twist of all time was when Dark Matter podcasters didn't put H.P. Lovecraft in the Hall of Pain.
In the Hall of Pain, yeah. That was unexpected. Although we copped out, didn't we, and put Cthulhu in. Oh, do you want to just do your Cthulhu impression again?
Was that it?
Watery. It was like a watery gargle. That's Cthulhu's in pain, it seems. He stubbed his toe. That was it. It's pretty good. Could listen to that all day. What was I going to say? Oh yeah, my favourite twist, and again, slightly ruining the thing by saying that there's a twist in it, but tough, is BioShock, the video game BioShock.
Oh, okay.
Didn't see that.
Yeah.
That was more of a mid-game twist, wasn't it? But I didn't.
Yeah, I suppose.
I did not see that coming.
Think about the good twist there. I mean, oh, there's a couple of good Black Mirror ones as well.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
What's the episode? White Bear, I think it's called. That was a good one.
I've seen and them all. The one, what's just give me a small clue as to that.
That was the one where a woman was woke up and like was kind of being chased by sort of random people, and she was kind of being funneled somewhere, and then she ended up in like a TV studio, and you find out
that was good. Ace.
And the other one, I can't remember what the episode's called though, about the kid who was being like blackmailed to commit like these crimes.
Oh yeah, trolled.
Fuck me. And yeah, and then you find out why he's being blackmailed, and you've spent the whole episode feeling really sorry for him.
Yeah.
And then it's at the end, oh my god, yeah. That was some good twists. Yeah, there was some good twists.
Yeah, anything that recasts the events of the whole thing. I mean, I guess that's the crux of it, isn't it? Anything that makes you realize that everything you were watching was actually not what you thought it was, and you suddenly kind of, I didn't realize, and that's good, isn't it? It's a real cool goosebump inducing moment.
I genuinely think Flypaper is up there, perhaps because of my own fears as a child.
It taps into that.
Video games. I'm trying to think of some good video game ones. I mean, BioShock's a good shout.
I suppose because video games are often limited in this storytelling, and one of the only twists you can, so there's a lot of person turns out to be the bad guy twists, isn't there? Like, even, I don't know, this again, spoiler, but not really, like Resident Evil, the original game, remember when Albert Wesker wasn't,
that's right, yeah,
I mean, it was so obviously villainous from the first time you meet him. Like, you know, you've got that big cuddly bloke called Barry Burton, and then you've got this guy calling you like, I'm Albert Wesker, I'm going to go and investigate this house, you idiots. You know what I mean? It's like he was so clearly...
I was doing my Barry impression the other day to G, my son.
Please do it right now.
There's a bit in it when he saves Jill, and she's really grateful, and he just goes, yeah, yeah. So I was just saying yeah yeah to everything. It wound him up a lot actually in the end, but
it's just like basically shit voice actors, like under delivered. There was loads of that in Resident Evil, wasn't
there? I mean, like Final Fantasy VII, the big death, would you call that a twist?
It is a twist, that's a whopper. But let's not say what that is, just in case there's a new generation of gamers inexplicably listening to this show. But that was a great twist. Yeah, unexpected. Well, I would argue that's not a twist.
No, that's why I mean.
It's just an unexpected development. Yeah, good point. Yeah, maybe it's not.
So that's why I want to review class it. But I suppose in terms of like shocks, that was, it was
massive shock. But yeah, a shock is maybe not the same as a twist.
No.
Yeah, a shock would be the main character died unexpectedly. A twist would be the main character was dead all along.
Yeah.
He's just a zombie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mentioned it before, Usual Suspects. I watched that just, you know when you're like, I was about 14 or something, just in my bedroom with my little telly on. And I think it was like a Friday night, so I was in, because I was a nerd, so I didn't get invited out boozing in the park. So it was like, oh, let's just, whatever's on the telly, stick it on. And this film was just starting that I didn't know what it was and I'd never heard of. But you know when you could, oh right, the opening credits, so oh well, I'll go on then, I may as well see what this is. It's got cool music. And then it was like, it's an Ace film, innit? You know, it's got all these cool characters in, like,
yeah,
thingy, Kevin Spacey and Gabriel Byrne and Benicio Del Toro and Stephen Baldwin. and it's just a good film. But I did not know, I didn't, so that, not only did I not know what the twist was, I didn't know that it was going to have a twist.
Yeah.
So that had full maximum mega impact on me when I watched that film for the first time. Whereas now, anyone else who watches it, particularly after listening to me just say that and give it away, it's like, oh, well, you know there's a twist coming, so you kind of, it won't be the same, it won't be as good.
Yeah. Yeah.
We basically need a delete button. You need a be good to be able to erase stuff from your brain so you could then spoiler free. But
yeah. I'm trying to think, there was another film, I can't remember if it was called like Haunted or Haunting. It's just a very generic film name. And it's a British film. And that one had a good, that had a, it was basically, it came out long before Sixth Sense and that was a classic twist. But that, I always find that quite creepy. Oh. Yeah, oh, it's going to annoy me now.
It's just great, isn't it, to, when you get got by a twist. There's no better feeling.
And there, it had that woman from the royal family, and you know the old woman, the grandmother.
Yeah, the Nana.
Nana, yeah. She's in it, like, very briefly. Haunted, that's it. And so this guy is set in, I'm going to say, 1920s. And it's got, I think it's Aidan Quinn and, like, Kate Beckinsale, I'm sure they're in it. And anyway, he's like he debunks like paranormal shit, and he goes to this mansion to investigate these ghostly goings on. The nanny claims to have seen, like, the housekeeper claims to have seen ghosts, and the brothers and sisters bring him in to, like, convince her that it's all bollocks. Anyway, it's got a good little twist at the end. Probably pretty obvious. But there's one really good bit where they come across Nana while they're out walking, and she's like a sort of gypsy fortune teller, and she says something to him and then to the woman. It's just suddenly, like, turns a bit, like, it was all, like, lighthearted, then suddenly it gets all serious and she's like, there's nothing I can tell you that you don't already know. And it gives me goosebumps now, even thinking of it.
Brilliant. And that's a good trick, isn't it? I mean, like that episode we talked about earlier, the Tales of the Unexpected. If you manage to convince the audience they're just watching a silly comedy thing and then suddenly go serious, that's a good, effective way of, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, covering your tracks kind of thing.
Yeah. And I mean, it's all, yeah, it's all very, like, this is all very sort of haunted housey and creepy going on. But yeah, I did think the ending was quite good.
I might watch it.
Yes, I found it. Haunted, 1995 it was.
Brilliant.
British film.
And there's loads. If you are in the market for, as it's obvious really, films with a twist, there are shed loads of them.
Yeah.
But it's always worth
it. It's apparently based on a novel by James Herbert, which I didn't realise.
Talented man.
But just a nice little creepy ghost film, you know. Nothing too outrageous.
Good recommendation.
But yeah, one I remember seeing it when I was, you know, really young and just quite liking it.
Well, speaking of twists, I know you think that we've been recording this episode, but actually, I didn't press record.
You're kidding me.
Only joking.
The twist being that actually I didn't press record.
Yeah, that would be a good twist.
Not that anyone would fucking notice, eh?
No, or care. No, exactly right. We'll keep chucking him out into the void. Hey, we should say, shouldn't we? We have got a very small number, vanishingly small number of listeners who do listen to all the shows or most of the shows. So thanks to you people. Who listen all the time. It's dead nice of you. Yes, we hope we've entertained you again with today's offering. Nearly forgot to say whether Tales of the Unexpected gets into the Hall of Pain or not.
Yeah.
And in a shocking twist, it does.
Okay.
It's in, because it's good. So there you go. That's it.
Cool. See you then.
That's the twist. Yeah, bye.
Oh, what was our outro again? We were going to do an outro.
Oh, shit, yeah.
It's been ages. Hang on. I can't remember the last time I recorded one. Go on, then. Oh, so, yeah, all right, let's give it a bit more fanfare than that. Well, hey, Tales of the Unexpected gets in.
Woo! Woo!
Awesome. Do the outro. Let's get out of here.
Hang on, wait. What was it again? Oh, yeah. We'll speak to you again soon. In the meantime, don't have nightmares, or if you do, make sure they're good ones. Yeah, that's it. Join in, yeah. Bye.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that is it for another episode of Dark Natter. We hope you enjoyed it. And as always, if you did, we would hugely appreciate it if you would leave us a 5-star review. That is always helpful. Or just get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at @dark_natter, or on Instagram at @darknatterpodcast, or on YouTube if you search for Dark Natter and then tell YouTube that yes, you did mean Dark Natter, not Dark Matter. And then you can listen to the episodes on there, or see there's a few sprinkling of ones that are videos and a couple of extra bonus bits and bobs as well, like, for you to enjoy. As threatened, I do intend to shamelessly plug my recently released new book, psychological techno thriller The Warden, which is available on the Amazon if you search for the book with that title, or you can just search for John Richter. John is spelled J-O-N, Richter is spelled R-I-C-H-T-E-R. I have various other books and stuff available on there. You can also get more information at www.john-richter.com. That is it from us. Dark Natter will be back very soon. We will see you then. Well, not see you. We can't see you, I promise. Well, no, actually, I can't see you, but Liam can, because he's probably loitering outside your window right now. Bye!